This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant, we are counting down to opening day tomorrow. It's not our home opener, but we get the season started against the Padres. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Grant McCauley covers baseball for us here on 92.9, The Game, and you get a chance to hear him every week as well. And Grant, I want to ask you this because we were talking about Ronald Acuna, and I'm not going to tell you I'm concerned, but it is a little bit unnerving that, you know, we're not getting any dates or potential, you know, return dates of when he might be out on the field. When do you think that's going to happen? I know you've been asked this a lot, but the Braves are slow rolling this, and it should it concern Braves fans?
No, I don't believe it should. And the reason why they're doing this, I'll say two things. Number one, no news is good news when it comes to this, because they were very clear over the course of the offseason. And when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos down in spring training, which you heard on 92.9 The Game right here on From the Diamond just this past Monday, they did not want to put the expectation of timetables on him or Spencer Strider, only to say that they hoped that Spencer Strider would pitch in games during Grapefruit League play. That happened. Ronald Acuna Jr. was going to appear in zero spring training games, and that is also something that's happened. But I think that within the next week or two, we'll start to get a better indication of where he is and when that rehab assignment starts, because when that starts, we're talking about 3 weeks, start a countdown to when Ronald Acuna Jr. could be back if he needs the entire rehab assignment, which I'm kind of anticipating this time around because he did not play any spring training games. But my concern level is pretty low. I mean, could anything happen? Well, yeah, sure. 2024 told us that. But in terms of everything we know, everything we've seen, everything we've heard, and everything Ronald has said and the team has said, it seems to be business as usual, but everybody's anxious to get him back.
All right, man. So we do like Jurickson Profar. We know what we got with Money Harris. So I guess, are they going to rotate Kelnick and De La Cruz kind of like a platoon, or how do you see it?
Yeah, that's kind of how I see that playing out. I mean, the everyday left fielder is going to be Jurickson Profar. I don't think they're going to be looking to move him around or anything like that. And obviously, Harris has got center on lockdown. That's a pretty nice thing to have when you're trying to get over not having Ronald Acuna Jr. out there. But Jared Kelnick's a very good defensive outfielder, very good arm, good speed. I think he's going to be fine. I thought it was a really good spring from Brian De La Cruz, who has some power. There are some holes in his game, particularly the strikeouts. The on-base skills aren't really as much as you'd like him to be. But deploying those two guys as a platoon in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, as you really start to anticipate Ronald getting back, I think it's an okay place for the Braves to be, and maybe a little bit more youthful, a little younger, and a little more upside than they had a year ago when they were just kind of trying to figure some things out with signing Adam Duvall late and wondering how they were going to, I guess, go about giving Jared Kelnick his first opportunity with the Braves. But I think that, you know, this is an opportunity of at-bats and playing time, and when Ronald gets back, it's going to be a little bit tougher for anybody that's the fourth and fifth outfielder on this team.
All right. I've been saying over the last couple of days that I think Drake Baldwin could be a pleasant surprise in this lineup. I don't know if that means once Sean Murphy gets back that Baldwin has established himself so much that, you know, he's taken up all the playing time. But I do think that he has a better bat. And if he does, Grant, how do you end up taking him out of the lineup if he comes up here and he's raking?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you have to look at is, you know, Sean Murphy is the established major league catcher with a long-term contract. And Drake Baldwin is the prospect who's being kind of forced into duty because there's an opening. And, you know, not for nothing, he earned the opportunity by playing extremely well. If they had been concerned and he had had a flat spring and didn't look good defensively or at the plate, they might have been thinking about one of these other veteran catching options. I mean, they did sign James McCann. We saw that, obviously. So they're trying to build depth at that position. But this is still Sean Murphy's job, unless or until it's not. And I don't anticipate that really changing. But this is a sneak peek, is kind of the way I look at it, at Drake Baldwin. I mean, he wasn't anticipating making the club when he came to spring training. But opportunities show up in all sorts of different ways. And I think that he is an exciting player that could really impress us over the first 2-3 weeks of the season, however long it takes Sean to get back into the lineup. But once he comes back, the idea, and I talked to Brian Snitker specifically about this, is they wanted Sean Murphy catching basically 3 out of every 4 games. That's what they got him for. They weren't able to do that last year, obviously, with the oblique injury. And, you know, the playing time also got, I think, handed out a little bit differently because of the fact that they weren't getting any offense from Sean Murphy, and they were getting it from Travis d'Arnaud at times. But this is the big opportunity. I won't say sink or swim, but it is a big opportunity for Sean Murphy to get his career back on track. And that's what he set out to do this winter. Unfortunately, he's had a setback in spring training. But I still think that, you know, this is the guy that they're looking for big things out of in 2025.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys. Here's some great stuff if you missed it last night. And again, all throughout the week, getting you ready for opening day. He joins here on the waitfor.com hotline. I know we talked about the bullpen yesterday, but I'll just throw you on the spot here. Don't know what it would be as far as righty or lefties coming up, but let's say Sale goes 6 strong innings. Who's pitching the 7th?
Yeah, I guess it does depend on the lineup and where you are. But, I mean, Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee are those guys before you get to Raisel Iglesias. But I was talking about this with the midday guys today even. Deisbel Hernandez is somebody that I'm looking at and really curious about what kind of role could he carve out, because he's a great arm. He's got an opportunity the last couple of years. They've even used him in the postseason. So why not see what this kid can do for you if you believe in the stuff in the arm? And he's getting out at the minor league level, so see what you can do with him. You've got the second lefty in Aaron Bummer who can be kind of situational if you need him. But with a lefty starter like Chris Sale, I would imagine they'd go righty in the 7th, maybe lefty in the 8th, and then the righty, obviously, Raisel Iglesias in the 9th.
You concerned? This is what? Iglesias' 10th year? You think there's any fall off? He's been really good over the last couple of seasons.
I think he's still kind of in that prime mode. I mean, his strikeouts per 9 were down last year, but there were some nights where you just look at it and be like, wait a minute, did he just get that lineup out on like 6 pitches?
Yep.
And it's impressive. It's efficient. So if he doesn't really need it, I'm not going to argue with the results. They're there. The advanced metrics beyond that, I mean, it's not like he was giving up rockets all over the ballpark. He wasn't homer prone. He was just as incredibly efficient of a closer as I've seen that didn't involve a lot of swing and miss stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see this final year that he's under contract, what he has to offer. But if it's anything like last year, the 9th inning seems to be in very good hands.
It's our man, Grant McCauley. By the way, John Smoltz is going to join us next hour at 6:20 and get his take
speaking
on...
Speaking of closers.
Speaking of guys who can start and close in his career, but we'll get his take on what he thinks about Braves pitching and everything else and the rest of Major League Baseball. Grant, in a nutshell, because I know it's a long conversation, so we'll do like the cliff notes on it, but we were talking with Tony Gwynn Jr., and I was talking about salary cap, and he was like, man, if we ever got that proposed, he said it would basically kill baseball for at least a year, maybe longer, as far as players on strike, owners in a lockout. So is that something we never have to worry about because they'll never be able to implement, even though I think we need it?
I mean, I'm concerned about it, and I will actually play devil's advocate and say I don't think that baseball necessarily needs it. The problem that they have is not the big spending owners. It's the ones who won't spend. So right. I don't really see that it's the top that's the bottom. I think it's the floor that's an issue. And I know that salary caps, and that's obviously a very long discussion, are constructed for a variety of reasons. But if you're talking about, and I've heard people say this, yeah, I'd sacrifice a season if it meant that we got all this spending under control. Baseball, it would not recover quickly from just right. punting an entire season. No sport would, not in this era. It was bad enough in 94, 95. Now throw the instantaneous reaction of social media and just the overall echo chamber that is into the public perception of your billion-dollar industry shutting down because it can't figure out how to spend its money. That's just not a good thing for any sport. So I don't think the players' union's ever going to go for it. I could imagine that there is some in between some tweaks they could make to the current system, but I don't know. I really think it's the owners that, you know, are sitting on a lot of money and not really doing anything with it year after year. So I'm looking at the Marlins, I'm looking at the Pirates, the Athletics, or they spent a little bit this winter, but like, don't let that fool you. It's because they were under the scrutiny of never spending at all, and now they're trying to move and attract more eyes to their product. But yeah, I know we don't want a long answer here. It's a long discussion, but right. I don't see a salary cap anytime in the future. And if the owners try to implement it, I do see a very, very nasty work stoppage.
Graham McCauley joining us talking about all things Braves. How competitive is this division going to be? Could we have three teams in the playoffs?
I think so. I mean, I look at the Braves and Phillies, and those are two clubs I expect to be in the playoffs. The Mets, it's a little harder to tell, but with the expanded playoffs and the fact that they got there last year and surprised a lot of people after a slow start, I won't rule them out. They've had some pitching injuries, some issues there. Their lineup, I think, is kind of top-heavy. Francisco Lindor has been much better the last couple of years, but he's never really had the superstar transcendent season that I think a lot of people, including myself, thought that he would have after his early career exploits in Cleveland, and he's just a year older. He's going to be 32 this year, so I don't know. It's kind of a team that I scratch my head about. They got Pete Alonso back, but he's kind of a feast or famine hitter, and obviously they spent a ton of money on Juan Soto. I think that they'll be competitive. I just don't know what to make of that club beyond, you know, an 85-win team. Mm. But they could shut me up, they could surprise me, and they could do the kind of things they did last year, which was almost put the Braves out of postseason contention way all the way down to game 162.
I know that the ESPN guys have the Dodgers won, no big surprise here, but everybody is I mentioned Tony Gwynn in the conversation. He loves the Braves. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves his team. Do you feel that, Snicker, this is the last year for Snicker. That is official. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's done, right?
I have not heard that at all. So it's the last year that...
I thought he kind of made it sound like...
the last year he's under contract, that's but you're breaking news to me.
All right. No, I just thought this was kind of his swan song. I've been talking about this all day. Like, well, so why has he not had a new contract?
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I think this has kind of been, at this stage, when you get to that age, I think you can kind of go year to year or every couple of years, which seemed to be kind of how they were doing it. But I felt like, Snit, last year, as soon as the Braves got knocked out of the postseason, was like, all right, well, I'm looking forward to being in spring training next year. So that did not indicate to me that he was a guy that was feeling like, all right, well, I'm going to wrap it up next year and take it on home, boys. So could that be on the table? Absolutely. When you get to the age that he is and you've done what he's done, there's really not a lot else to prove. Does he still enjoy doing it? Does the team still value his leadership? Those are the questions that you have to answer. But I have not heard anything to indicate that it is, a fait accompli that he is done.
Well, I'll stop saying that then.
All right. Well, look, we'll take Snit as long as he wants to be here. But, yeah, the last year of his contract maybe has a lot of people thinking that. Grant, great stuff as always, man. We're looking forward to opening day and seeing how this team responds. And, look, Padres are a good team. We talked about it earlier with Tony Gwynn, and a heck of a way to start the season out. I wish we were starting the season with the White Sox, but that's not the case.
No doubt. They lost a series to those guys last year, though. That's not good.
But I remember.
Good road trip. And yeah. We'll be talking a lot this year. I look forward to it.
By the way, tell people while we have you on, your show, I know it moves around during this time of year, but when are you on the weekends?
Yeah, we are currently in the flex schedule, but baseball is back. I will be on Sunday morning from 9 to 11, 2 hours of Braves and Baseball Talk, a show called From the Diamond. You can find it right here on 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm excited about an all-new season and having plenty of great guests over the course of the year. So I appreciate all the support, and thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man.